Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a Juno Afternoon for this Friday. That's a little bit sunny, but there's rain in the forecast. I'm Andy Klein. I'm your host for today, and we've got a fun-filled and full show today, including Annie B is going to be coming by to talk about how to thin out your old record collection this weekend. We're going to get the scoop on how to join next weekend's big wetlands cleanup. We're going to find out what not to miss at this Saturday's travel fair. We're going to also find out how to support Polaris House, a clubhouse for adults diagnosed with mental illness. And we'll get a preview of this weekend's Orpheus Project concerts. That's all coming up. Bird Note, fun, music, more. All right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A bill introduced in Congress would provide federal grants for cancer treatment on remote reservations. KNAU's Ryan Heinches has more.
The bill would allocate $10 million a year to tribal communities affected by uranium mining or milling to build local cancer clinics. According to one of its sponsors, Arizona Democrat Tom O'Halloran, the Indian Health Service has no budget for cancer treatment, and there are no cancer facilities on reservation lands anywhere in the U.S.
There's a serious hole in the tribal health care system that makes it increasingly difficult for folks to get on-site cancer treatment. People have to drive hundreds of miles just to get some treatment, and that's just not the way it should be.
O'Halloran says his bill would create a dedicated source of funding for treatment programs and calls tribal cancer rates a growing health crisis. New Mexico Democratic Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham is also a sponsor. Nearly 30 million tons of uranium were mined on or near the Navajo Nation during the Cold War, leaving more than 500 abandoned mines. Recent studies have shown high levels of contamination in Navajo homes and far higher concentrations of uranium in the bones of those who live near the sites than most of the U.S. population. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff, Arizona.
The Trump administration is taking steps toward allowing oil and gas drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. A notice in the Federal Register states dates and times will soon be released about Bureau of Land Management meetings to be held in a handful of Alaska communities. Some politicians welcome the news, saying it's a path to energy and economic security. While the Gwich'in Steering Committee has long stated it will not give up or back down in efforts to protect the refuge from development. Native women leaders are encouraging female students at a tribal college in Lawrence, Kansas, to learn leadership skills by running for student government. Rhonda Lovaldo reports.
The Running Start Elect Her program gives guidance to young women on how to conduct an election campaign and was recently held at Haskell Indian Nations University for the first time to an all-Native American audience. Haskell student Susan Hawkins said she learned more tips about running for an office.
It definitely gave me more courage to go out and do elections more. Like this past year, I ran for AHEC Student Congress, and I wasn't exactly feeling it, but now I'm ready for next year and ready to get my voice out there.
The students also met with the current Native American woman running for Congress in Kansas, Ms. Cherise Davids, whose Ho-Chunk gave words of encouragement to the group.
I think it's important for, particularly as people who are running for office, to be as supportive as we can about college students and younger people to be engaged in the political process. But also, specifically for this event, I wanted to come to Haskell and participate and share ideas and knowledge with the Native leaders of tomorrow.
Liana Onan, the tribal chairwoman for the Prairie Band Potawatomi, also spoke to the group and explained why she felt the need to be there.
I think it's important to have these workshops because I want young Native women to feel empowered. I want them to feel confident, and I want them to know how important their voices are.
I'm Rhonda Lovaldo for National Native News.
Native women are focusing on empowerment at the Dynamic Women of the Chickasaw Nation event taking place in Oklahoma. This week's gathering includes a focus on education, leadership, and culture. The tribe is celebrating the accomplishment of Toby Merritt Edwards Young. The Chickasaw citizen recently accepted a position as a law clerk for Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
We are all related is the theme of the 7th Biennial Vision Maker Film Festival, returning to Lincoln, Nebraska, April 20th to the 26th. Info at visionmakermedia.org. Vision Maker Media is proud to support this show. Support by the AAIP and Million Hearts Think Heart Symposium. Strategies for Managing High Blood Pressure, March 14th in Oklahoma City. Registration deadline is March 5th at aaip.org/events.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
The KXLL Pop-Up Record Shop is back, and we need your records to make it happen. Spring cleaning? Donate your used rock, soul, reggae, comedy, country, and folk records to KTOO. We're now accepting LPs and 45s Monday through Friday between 9 and 5 p.m. The pop-up record shop returns Friday, April 27th, 5 o'clock at Amalga Distillery.
I was toting my pack along the dusty North Slope Hall Road, when along came a semi with a high canvas covered load. If you're going to Fairbanks, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, bud, I've traveled every road in this great land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the tundra bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel out ahead in my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Barrow, Juneau, North Pole, Metlakatla, Kotzebue, Anchorage, Unalaska, Soda, Ketchikan, Koyukuk, Stoner River, Sleep, New Petersburg, Iditarod, Lagnuck, Dead Horse, Kenai, Katmai, Cusk, Greenfoot, Wamperta Bay, Dutch Harbor, Wattsila, I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the tundra, bear, man. I breathe them out.
Well, everyone wants to travel to Alaska and see all the sights, and the people who do that and coordinate all that visiting are right here with me in the studio right now. Liz Perry and Anna Edgerly Moore from Travel Juneau. Thanks for coming in. And you guys are gearing up for the season, huh? It's upon us. It's upon us. They're coming. And part of the fun thing that you guys do every spring is to kind of get all the different vendors together for the Juneau Travel Fair that's happening tomorrow.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It starts from noon and runs till 4 o'clock over at the Jack. And this is Travel Juneau's way of opening up to the community and letting folks know what's available for their visiting friends and family to enjoy in Juneau. You get to know what's new, get to see some old favorites, and take advantage of some special deals just for locals. There will be giveaways. And I would be remiss if I did not mention all of our fabulous sponsors for the event.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Our premier sponsor, of course, is Alaska Airlines, which has generously donated 2 round-trip tickets that will be available for a drawing.
Oh, fun. Cool.
That people can sign up for tomorrow. And then our other sponsors are Juneau Tours and Whale Watch, Lost in Alaska Adventures, More Charters, North Star Trekking, Rainforest Farms, and Rum Runner Charters.
All right. So people all getting together to get this thing going. And then you've got 30 or so vendors, you were saying, that are all kind of representative, kind of booths, set up tables and go around. And it's a kind of one-stop shopping for people to get to know all the different vendors in town. Who usually attends this? I get that the vendors set up these booths, but who usually is coming through to attend?
Well, again, if people are having friends or other family visit them in the summertime, sometimes it's a struggle to figure out, well, how am I going to keep them busy? And
yeah,
this is a way for them to see a sampling of some of the things that people can do while they're in town. And it also lets residents know just how much is available through the various excursions, and it's an opportunity to learn more about what Travel Juneau does to market Juneau as a destination, and just learn more about our work and some of the things that we do, get to know the staff, get to know some of our great partners.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, you live in town and you got your job and you're working all summer, and sometimes the whole tourism industry and all the vendors and all the people that do all that goes sort of outside the periphery of what a lot of people do in their everyday life.
Right. And, you know, this is also an opportunity for people to come in and also recognize that the visitor industry really bolsters the Juneau economy. And it's responsible for about 25% of the sales tax revenue in town. So if something would happen to it, there would be a big hole to fill.
Yeah.
So we want to honor the industry and invite people into the door and see what's going on.
Cool. Well, I'll be there serving beer.
Terrific.
I'll be there in the Alaskan Brewing booth or tent outside. Hopefully the rain will hold off.
That's what we're hoping.
I know.
We'll have some tents
I'm
available.
I'm hoping as much as anyone.
And we're also excited Forno Rosso is going to be joining us as well, so people can grab a bite to eat while they're there. Again, take advantage of some great deals through our vendors and sign up for giveaways. And, again, sign up for those Alaska Airlines tickets. Travel Juno is also giving away a little gift basket, kind of as a second prize. To that, so we hope people can stop by and pick up some great information and score some great deals.
And then part of bringing in all of these tourists that come to our small town here in Juneau, part of what you guys do is coordinate this kind of army of volunteers that go out. So Anna, you're sort of heading that up. So how many volunteers in general do you guys have to recruit every year or have to get involved in this?
Well, we want to average about 20 to 30 per year, and we've actually hit our mark, but we're always looking for more good people. Right now we have about 130 active volunteers in town. They primarily staff the four visitor information sites, two are downtown and then one's at the airport and one's at the ferry. We are looking for more people at the airport and the ferry. So if you live out the road, it's a great way to connect with the community and the tourism industry that way.
Yeah, that's cool. So what kind of stuff do people have to know?
Well, you really don't have to know anything. You have to love Juneau. That's the most important part. We provide all kinds of information and resources for you to use when you're answering visitor questions, and we try to keep those as accurate as we can, and that's primarily what we do, is provide accurate information to visitors and make sure they have a good time when they're here.
Yeah, right. So this is that cool little booth in that baggage claim, right, in the airport. And then I'm trying to remember where it is at the ferry terminal.
As you go through the doors, it's just off to the right. So that includes all kinds of partner information and just general information on Juneau, and those two are open all year round, so you can grab information for independent travelers as well.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And then the ones downtown, are they both on the docks? Are they both part of that
newer building?
One is
on the docks
building?
And one's right next to the library.
Okay.
So
all right.
Two different spots, and between all four, we serve over 170,000 visitors a year from all over the world, and it's really fun. So if you're interested in volunteering, it's a great opportunity.
So we've been hearing this figure about 1.3 million visitors expected this year total, right? So that's like 10% of all those visitors, all, you know, give or take, interact with your volunteers.
Yeah, we cover a lot of ground over the summer season.
That's amazing.
Especially. So.
Yeah, and I mean, you can imagine that. I mean, you get off in some place, and the first thing you do is look for an information booth, right?
Absolutely.
You want to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
So how do people kind of get involved with if they want to become a volunteer, what do they do?
Well, we provide lots of training. One is actually happening tomorrow during travel fair. And then we also have a new volunteer orientation scheduled for May 12th. And if you're interested, you can give me a call. My number is 586-1740, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Yeah, that sounds great. Is there a certain type of person or certain kind of skills that you look for, or is it just...
Between the four sites, we can basically accommodate anybody, any schedule. You know, the two downtown sites get really busy, so if you're interested in a fast-paced volunteer experience, that's a great option. If you want something a little more relaxed and you want to interact with more independent travelers, then the airport and the ferry are really good options as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The independent traveler, definitely in the ferry and the airport, that's true, right? I hadn't really thought about that.
So
you're going to get different types of people.
We have a pretty good range of volunteer experience available.
Yeah, very cool. All right, so travel fair tomorrow starts at noon.
Starts at noon, runs till 4 p.m. at the Jack. And, again, we're going to have food and beverage available, lots of fun things to do. So come out and join us and find out what's new in Juneau.
And if you want to get even more involved, you can sign up for training with Anna and Travel Juneau and become a volunteer. Liz and Anna, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know about everything cool that's happening with Travel Juneau.
Thanks for having us.
All right, have a great weekend. It's going to be action-packed. Yeah, all right.
I was toting my pack along the dusty no-slope-haul road when along came a semi with a high canvas covered load. If you're going to Fairbanks Mag with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, bud, I've traveled every road in this great land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the tundra bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel out ahead in my share, man. I've been everywhere.
been to Barrow, Juneau, North Pole, Metlakatla, Kotzebue, Anchorage, Unalaska, Soda, Ketchikan, Koyukuk, Stoner River, Sleep, New Petersburg, Iditarod, Lagnuck, Dead Horse, Kenai, Katmai, Kutcher, Green Cluck, Wamperta Bay, Dutch, Hubble, Watsila, I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Cross the tundra, bear, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel out half my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Kodiak, Fognak, Chugiak, Knack, Neck, Old Harbor, Isaac, Cape Thorn Bay, Acaporn, Heidelberg, Yakutat, Hoover Bay, Nome, Ruby, Chichagar, Franco Nails, Cross Point, Squaw Hopper, Moose Pass, Eagle River, Hawk, and a Dead Horse, Dot Lake, Ock Lake, Wanna Lake, I'll be sick. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Cross the tundra, bay, man. Breathe the mountain, nay, man. I travel out of heaven, my share, man. I've been everywhere.
I can't get enough of that song. I love that song. Allison Gillum is here from the Seal Trust. And Allison, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And you're one of the organizations that does a big effort coming up in a couple of weekends to get that good spring cleaning out there in the environment and make sure that Juneau is a beautiful place to romp around in all summer long, doing the beach cleanup and the whole big, huge cleanup that's happening. So tell me about Seal Trust's responsibilities and their participation in that.
Yeah, so annually we do a Juneau community wetlands cleanup in the refuge out surrounding Sunny Point, and also along this year, a new location is going to be along Mendenhall Peninsula. And it's a great event. We usually get over 100 people that show up and just all out, spread out in the wetlands. It's quite a sight to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we I work at the brewery, and we get to cooperate with that effort as well. We do the Coastal Code cleanup. And I would extend the offer to anyone who is doing the Seal Trust cleanup to come by the little pullout that's kind of by where the old Walmart was. Well, at the end of Sunny Point there, not the end, but the beginning of Sunny Point, right? That rest area pullout there. If you come by there, you can get a pass to come get pizza at the brewery after 11 p.m.
That's right. There's a party after the cleanup. Yeah.
We did it last year, and it was so fun. People reacted to it so well and ran out of pizza. And
that's
of course,
right.
You don't run out of beer.
Yeah, right. run out of beer.
There's always enough beer.
Yeah, and we'll have the Southeast Alaska Land Trust will have some of the wristbands that the brewery has to hand out
great.
To people that help with the cleanup and can head over to the party and get some free pizza and some good beer.
Yeah.
Actually, this year there are 12 partners participating.
Okay, who are they all? Let's go through them.
Let's do it. Okay, so Alaska Airlines Green Team. The Alaska Center, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Alaskan Brewing Company, Discovery Southeast, and they're actually providing a naturalist for kids during the cleanup event.
Oh, that's a great angle. That's really fun. Cool.
And this year, for the first time, the Army National Guard is coming, so that'll be a fun. They're going to be in uniform and out cleaning up the wetlands.
So no messing around.
No.
All right. You stay in locked formation. Very good.
Juneau Audubon Society, Litter Free, North Star Trekking, and this is their third year where they donate a helicopter lift to get some of the bigger items out of the wetlands. It's crazy. It's really fun to watch. Territorial Sportsmen, Trail Mix, and the Juneau chapter of Trout Unlimited. All those groups are involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a couple things I was noticing about this. One is it starts early. You have to deal with the tides.
Yes.
We all
plan
know
around the tides.
Here in Juneau that the tides are a definite thing. So it's an incoming tide starting right around at 8 o'clock is when I looked
right
at the tides.
It'll be chasing us out. So, yes, 8 o'clock is the start of the cleanup. Usually we do it for about 2 hours, 8 to 10 is the plan.
But it is that thing of just, for those of you who venture out, and I'm sure we're going to be telling folks, and I'm sure you will too, you know, just watch that tide as it might close in around you.
Right.
It comes in quick.
Yeah, because we do go out to some of the islands out there, so I could see potentially getting stranded out on those islands. We wouldn't want that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll know they're out there. We'll drop food.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, and it is Saturday, April 28th, so not this Saturday,
for people
who are wondering when this amazing event is happening. So.
That's right. It's next Saturday, the 28th, and it's such a fun annual event. You know, in rain or shine, hey, it's whatever. It was whatever it is. It's a beautiful walk in the wetlands, and you just kind of bring a couple of bags with you. It's always fun to see the people who bring in the biggest thing.
That's right.
You know, there were some huge, like, tractor tire looking things that I remember coming in last year.
Yep. And 2 years ago, there were some Coast Guard people who found a buoy, a Coast Guard buoy, and rolled
that.
It back out to the highway and reclaimed it for the Coast Guard. And last year, one of the coolest things that happened was there was this huge old floating dock that people broke apart the cement and took out the foam, and then Trail Mix went out later after the event and took these large wooden beams to use on some of their trail projects around town. So it's just really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I love hearing that we got rid of some foam. That styrofoam out there,
I know,
you see it all the time.
Yep.
And it just stays in the environment forever.
It does.
Birds eat it and all kinds of stuff, you know.
Our bird and our salmon that use that for spawning and rearing out there in the wetlands. And, yeah, it's an important bird area.
Yeah. What are some of the dangers and what are some of the trash that really are the nasties that you really want to get out of the environment?
Yeah, I'd say plastic and styrofoam are, like, some of the biggest things to get rid of. They definitely kill our wildlife, so they literally choke them.
Yeah,
so we want to get that stuff out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen fishing line sometimes too.
That can be really bad.
Ghost fish and catch nets and things like that.
Yeah, and that can kind of trap birds and keep their beaks closed so they can't eat and all sorts of bad stuff.
It's bad, and it's one of those things you almost don't want to think about it because you hate to think about animal suffering, you know, needlessly like that. It's so terrible.
Right.
But on the other hand, there's such a simple solution, you know, if you see something, pick it up.
Right.
Be mindful about not letting stuff fall, out into the environment. I also think it's always interesting to see how things that clearly started on land, right, somewhere, end up beachside, and then stuff that was clearly dropped somewhere from a boat way out in the ocean ends up on beachside, too.
Makes its way to the beach. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the most common things that you can think of that people are bringing in?
I would say some of the most common stuff is kind of just like cups and chip bags and food type containers. We find a lot of that stuff.
You know what I notice? Lighters.
Plastic
lighters. They're everywhere out there.
People are just throwing those into
the ocean. I don't know what's going on with those, but they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And they float, and they're brightly colored. You can imagine that birds would get interested in them. Fish would get interested in eating them, just like they'd be interested in hitting a lure. So some of those things you can really see. It's worse than just that it looks bad.
Right.
You know, it really does cause harm. I think that's something that maybe we didn't understand about litter for a long time, that we just thought, it's an eyesore. But it's more than an eyesore. It's much worse than an eyesore. It's actually, as you say, it's actually killing things, which is unnecessary.
Impacts the habitat, and especially important habitat for salmon. I mean, that's our way of life here, right? So we really want to protect that resource.
All those
for
beautiful waterfowl, ducks, and things like that, eagles that are out there, and we don't want to fill their bellies with plastics and things like that. Yeah,
definitely.
So how can people get involved?
Well, so you can go to the Southeast Alaska Land Trust .org website to find out all of the information we talked about today in terms of the timing and the two access points that we have. One's on Sunny Point. You can either go with a brewery is going to be there representing the very end of Sunny Drive. There's also going to be an access point at 7083 Hendrickson Road, which is just off of Sunny Drive there. And then on Mendenhall Peninsula, 10651 Porter Lane, which is just off Mendenhall Peninsula, is the access point for the Mendenhall Peninsula. So those are spots where you can pick up the trash bags and head into the wetlands.
So, I mean, the basic thing is drive out Sunny Point. You'll see places. We'll be very obvious out there. You guys, your crew will be very obvious out there. And the same with Mendenhall Peninsula Road. Just drive out that way, and it'll be very obvious to kind of see where to get involved.
Where to go.
And then how about just at a deeper level? How can people get involved with either Seal Trust and find out the mission and find out more about how to really, help fulfill the mission of what Seal Trust does?
Yeah, that's a great question. Definitely heading to our website. There's a whole ton of great information there. We have a bunch of events throughout the year that we're, trying to get the word out about who we are and what we do. So when you hear about events like this, like the cleanup, come on out and you'll see the staff of Seal Trust, also board members. You can definitely talk to us about what we do to learn more. You can always call. You can always call us.
And then just since you're here, I always kind of ask you this, but the general mission of Seal Trust, we hear that term, we hear about the Southeast Alaska Land Trust, and it I guess I think people have a general idea about what it does, but maybe just talk a little bit about some of the main things that you guys work on.
Definitely. So we're a nonprofit organization, and we have we're dedicated to protecting lands that have important natural, recreational, and historical or cultural values for the community and for all of Southeast Alaska. So we protect land in two main ways. One, we purchase land and own it and manage it as conservation land. And the other way is we work with both private landowners and public landowners, and we put a legal document called a conservation easement on those properties that are owned privately or publicly to restrict the uses to protect those lands. So that's kind of our two ways that we do our land conservation mission.
Yeah, and it's really interesting work and important work, and it's a way that we can kind of work on making these set-asides happen so that the natural environment can function the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. Exactly. I know.
Don't you know it? All right, great. Well, it's all happening April 28th, this next big wetlands cleanup. A number of different groups, as you said, 12 organizations all working to get people organized and get people out on the wetlands with big bags to collect all the garbage you can find and get a good spring cleanup happening. Seal Trust is one of the organizations helping organize that. Allison, thanks so much for letting us know about it.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. All right, we'll see you out there next weekend.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, coming up right now, here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Here's a really cool story. So birds have been living in proximity with humans for a really long time, but it's only in the last 5,000 years or so that it's been in cities or towns or built-up areas.
What we have done is we've created a new place where birds are under intense natural selection from our activities.
John Marsloff is professor of wildlife science at the University of Washington in Seattle. He says evolutionary changes can happen in birds even after just a few decades of living with us.
Pamela Yeh studied this in San Diego, and what Pamela found was that the amount of white in the tail of juncos has decreased as they've colonized suburban areas. And this is a genetic and a naturally selected response. The reason it seems to occur, the hypothesis, is that in the wildlands, juncos typically just get to breed once because it's a harsh climate in the mountains. And so there's selection by females. For males, it can be aggressive and defend a space for their female to breed in. But in the suburban areas, that's not the case. The breeding season is really long. Females might get off three or four broods of young.
So their evolution's in overdrive.
And they've favored males that are less aggressive and more attentive to their young. And the corollary of being an aggressive junco is how much white you have in your tail.
For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Support for Bird Note comes from Audubon Park Wild Bird Food, welcoming the return of songbirds with full feeders. Spring bird feeding tips at audubonpark.com.
Support for this station comes from listeners like you and from Copa, a handcrafted ice cream and coffee shop serving fresh-roasted, organic Sentinel coffee. Ice cream flavors and online ordering at coppa.biz.
The first ever Alaska Home and Lifestyle Fair is almost here. This exciting event takes place April 27th to the 29th at Centennial Hall. Kicking off on Friday night at 5 p.m. is a happy hour where you can talk with the experts. The Alaska Home and Lifestyle Fair will open its doors on Saturday the 28th at 10 a.m. There'll be activities for the kids, including a Home Depot workshop and more. Visit seabia.com for more information. This message brought to you by CBF.
And welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. Andy Klein, your host for today. And joining me now is Bruce Van Dusen from Polaris House. And thanks for joining me, Bruce.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah,
this great.
Absolutely.
You.
And you wanted to just let people know about a fun-sounding celebration that's coming up and also just a little bit about what Polaris House does in general. So you got something coming up on May 4th.
Friday, May 4th at the Andrew Hope Elizabeth Paradovich Hall. We're having a celebration fundraiser for welcoming in spring and also raising money for our building fund. We are at capacity, so we have to do something about our space.
Oh, okay.
So we're starting to raise money so that we can address that issue.
Now, at capacity, when you say that, what all does that building have
well,
to do?
We have 1,800 square feet where we serve about 20 people a day, and it's very crowded. We have our kitchen, our dining room, a snack bar. Then we have all of the different workstations. So everything is really packed together tight. And when we have 20 people in at one time, it can be difficult to get the work done. It's loud, and you know, we kind of step on each other a little bit. So we
and
really
is this the building
space.
That I'm thinking of? That's across from the Sandpiper there,
yes,
right?
Yes, Willoughby Place.
Yeah,
yes.
Willoughby Place. Okay.
Yeah, we rent the entire first floor.
Okay.
So,
and what are some of the services that you're providing there at Polaris House?
Well, we do a wide array of things. We have three major focus areas, which are housing, education, and employment. We ensure that our members are housed or have access to housing, or we help them improve housing when necessary. We also provide for supports and services for them to get involved in local education programs at the university or the high school or the computer learning center. And then what we really focus a great deal of energy on is our employment programs. We really strive to have as many of our members actively in paid employment as possible. There's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah, what are some of the...
One of the biggest reasons for that is through the years we've learned that paid employment is really the greatest vehicle for mental health recovery. It's not so much about the money. I mean, it's important to be able to earn a living, but it's about being with other people. It's the actual process of doing the work and being in the community and being able to be involved in activities that you like, and being with others who like what they're doing, and, you know, filling your day with meaningful activity, being connected to the world. Many times when a person experiences a mental illness diagnosis, they can become isolated and disconnected from the community. And so those things in themselves make mental health recovery very, very difficult.
Yeah, they sort of feed on themselves. You can see people sort of that idea of about spiraling down a little bit.
Right.
You know, the more,
so we really strive to keep people connected. Polaris House is a safe place, a place where the member belongs. The work that the members do in the clubhouse is to actually run the clubhouse as a business. They don't come in just to sweep the floor or do the dishes. I mean, those things are included in what they can do, but they can work with me in the business unit doing grant applications and grant reports. Or they can be involved in the employment programs, helping to find employers that want to work with us. Or they can be in the housing unit. Maybe they have some skill and experience that they acquired when they were finding their own housing, and they'd like to lend that experience to someone else who's searching for housing. We have another area that we focus on we call community services and supports. That's everything. Whether it's a Social Security application, finding bus schedules, accessing community events, being able to attend different celebrations, APA applications, food stamps, Medicaid, everything. So,
it's really an interesting thing. I was struck by a question that I just wanted to ask you. What was it that drew you to this work? It seems like it might be difficult work. It seems like it, you know, sometimes. But what is it that draws you to the work?
Well, it's based on my own experiences. I developed schizophrenia at about age 9, so I've been living with it for about 47 years. And in those years, I've had, you know, a lot of setbacks and a lot of successes. Recently, in about the, you know, I've been gainfully employed now for the past 28 years in different social service types environments. And my drive, my empathy is I understand a lot about what it means to be disconnected, to be isolated, and to not really being able to figure out how to make that happen, you know, how to become connected and how to get into the community and be active. So anything that I can do that helps with that really drives me.
And really probably maybe in a really deep way understand certain triggers, certain things that to avoid or certain things to really try to encourage in your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I've sat in the chair of a person who's homeless. I've been homeless. I've sat in the chair of the person who's been in and out of psychiatric institutions. Myself, I was in and out of the institutions for about 8 years, homeless for nearly 2 years. I do have some experience with the whole problem of suicide. I believe that I was unsuccessful. So some days I wonder. Just kidding. Suicide's a very serious problem.
Yeah,
so when someone comes to me and they're, you know, having thoughts about harming themselves, that is something that we focus on immediately and provide every support that we can at that moment, you know, because we know how important it is to treat it right now.
But it's an interesting thing that you've obviously experienced these issues, but you're also someone who's learned a way to succeed and live a life that's meaningful and fruitful. And
I wouldn't want to oversimplify it, but in a nutshell, what I learned was to get my psychiatric symptoms under control and keep them under control. And what I mean by that is getting it to the point where the diagnosis and the symptoms don't interfere with me getting my needs met, right? So there are a couple of things that I do each day that a lot of people probably don't have to do. I take my medication, and I stay, you know, active, stay engaged, always put my best foot forward, and really be there to support other people as they are, find themselves in tough situations.
It must be a very meaningful thing for someone to be able to interact with you knowing that you've been in their shoes. And,
well, I've
you know.
Been called a spy. I really have, you know, because I have my college degree now, and I have, you know, 28 years of experience in social services. And, you know, and when I sometimes when I relate that to someone, they're not convinced right away, right?
Yeah.
But if we have a conversation about these things, they can see that from my personal experiences that I've had very many similar experiences to what they're going through. But on the other hand, here I am on the other side of it where I've been successful and I can offer that experience as well.
Well, there's a lot to celebrate, and this celebration's happening May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with us. Yes, that's
yes.
Right. Yeah. The day before Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, right. And all happening at the Andrew Hope Building at the Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall. Spring celebration.
Yeah. You know, we're going to have a catered dinner by Mary Soul. Then we're going to do a silent auction and a 50-50 raffle. We'll have live music all night by Tom Loker.
Oh,
so
great.
It's really exciting.
Yeah.
We're really shooting to get at least 200 people there. We do have a lot of tickets that are available through pre-sale, or you can get them the night of at the door.
And you were mentioning that one way people can kind of get involved with Polaris House, even if they maybe aren't someone who wants to or can staff the facility, is to get involved in the board of directors.
Absolutely. We have a wonderful board of directors. Briefly, we're accredited through Clubhouse International. We have 37 standards that we need to meet to maintain our accreditation. And several of those are on funding and governance, and that relates to our board of directors. We are a registered nonprofit, 501c3, and we're required by law to have a volunteer board. But beyond that, the volunteer board is a great way for any concerned individual to be able to come into Polaris House and to make a really meaningful contribution to people who really appreciate it and will use it.
Well, it's great. It's meaningful and important work that you're doing, and something that's, you know, making steps every single day to make our community a better place to live. So,
well, you know, that's interesting because we talk about helping people manage symptoms, and we talk about employment and going back to school, but we also know that our particular model of recovery, which is evidence-based practice, it cuts back on the number of law enforcement encounters. We haven't had any in a very long time. The last 18 months, we've not had to have the police at Polaris House at all. Then we also know that it helps cut back on the use of a mental health unit at Bartlett Hospital. In the last year, we had two of our members that needed to use that, as opposed to in some years, 26 or 30,
right,
before they were using this program. And we also know that a person is more likely to stay engaged in their treatment when you can add Polaris House to what they're receiving from the Community Mental Health Center. So we're not trying to supplant anyone, but we're great partners. And we know that the Polaris House model and our engagement also is a contributing factor to people keeping doctor appointments, attending group therapy, and individual therapy. So persons using the clubhouse are much more likely to participate in their own recovery.
Well, that's great work that you're doing. Thanks for the work that you do. For people that want to contribute to that, think about the board of directors and the volunteer board of directors, something that is be willing to talk to them about, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And also the celebration that's happening on May the 4th over at the Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall. What is there a place that place online, something like that, that people can find more information about Polaris House?
We have a website, polarishouseak.org, and we also have a Facebook page. And then you can come down anytime. We're open 7 days a week. Pop in.
Right.
You know. And one of the other things we're doing with the tickets is if you aren't able to make it and you want to get a ticket pre-sale, call us, and we will bring it to you. So we're having fun doing that.
All right. Sounds good. Bruce Van Dusen from Polaris House. Thanks so much
Thank
for
so
coming
much.
In, and have a great celebration on May 4th.
Thank you.
All right.
Cruise for a cause on Wednesday, May 2nd, and set sail to Orca Point Lodge with the United Way of Southeast Alaska. With guest of honor, Brian Weed, Alaskan explorer and lead of Juneau's Hidden History Group, who will be sharing the local legend, the Lost Rocker Mine, while guests enjoy a delicious meal provided by Allen Marine. The cruise departs promptly at 5:30 p.m. from Stouter Harbor and Off Bay aboard Allen Marine. Join the United Way for this relaxing, enjoyable event. Proceeds benefit the United Way of Southeast Alaska. Tickets are available at unitedwayseak.org.
The reason why, oh, I can't say, I have to let you go, babe, and right away, after what you did, I can't say
I love hearing the birds. Aren't you, Annie?
I love the birds.
Aren't they fun? Man, so cool. Those harmonies, that guitar.
Oh, my gosh.
The Rickenbacker, I think, that he
used,
right?
Yeah.
That hollow Rickenbacker.
Definitely. Is
that McGuinn on guitar?
12 strings.
McGuinn and David Crosby, both in guitar there. Yeah.
You betcha.
Annie B's in the studio with me from KXLL. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You've got, what's going on with this record collection thing going on this weekend?
So,
tell me about
it's not this weekend.
Oh,
well,
okay.
But this weekend
you
is your moment.
Start contributing this weekend. And
yeah,
then you're
totally.
Gonna yeah, I see what's going on. Okay.
So we're doing the pop-up record shop one more time. It was this really cool event that we adapted from the used media sale, where we saw these records going out the door for wicked cheap, and it was a really sweet deal for a long time.
No,
yeah, exactly.
Come back here.
So then we realized, like, the millennials, they love vinyl, and they're willing to pay a lot of money for vinyl. So we're like, let's do this. Let's do a pop-up record shop. We don't have a record store in Juneau. And, yeah, so we just did it.
That's awesome.
So
tell me the concept of a pop-up record shop. What's that? Where was the first one?
The first one we did during December 2 years ago. So it was right during public market time. We're like, come get some easy, super fun, cheap gifts for your families. And it sold out in, like, 20 minutes. I mean, people were still picking over some stuff, but the stuff that was great went really, really fast.
Right. Cool.
And so we tried to do it again during last December, the same kind of concept. We moved it to a Malga distillery, and it was super fun.
That's fun.
Lots of people came out. There were some vulture-y moments. I guess some elbows were thrown as people were trying to get into the records. So we have decided that we're going to have lots more boxes, so hopefully no one will be kind of throwing elbows and stick to kind of like genres. So if you're really looking for that John Prine record, you'll find the place for it.
Nice.
And there's a lot of really good like box sets, and all of our stock comes from people who donate it, which is why we need you this weekend to go through your record collection, see if there's anything there that you'd like to pay forward. And really let someone else enjoy. Like, the amount of joy at these record sales is incredible because people are getting exactly what they have always wanted or what they didn't want.
Well,
and then
I just love going through. You know, the thing is that there's no record shops anymore.
There's no record shops anymore. And it's record
shops.
Store day tomorrow.
Right.
It's all these limited edition stuff we can't get a hold of. But
and we haven't had a record shop in Juneau for decades.
Yeah.
And, I mean, man, you know, as a when I was your age, you know, one of the joys in life was to go to a record shop and kill 2 hours just perusing, and you know, you'd walk out with four albums you never even heard of or knew about. Or
wait, but here's the real question: did you test them out before you bought them?
Well, depending on the record shop, if you had a really great record shop, you could go listen to them.
We will not have that at our record shop.
But it's so fun, and like having a listening booth, those kinds of things was awesome.
Maybe we should do it.
You could do a listening booth.
We could set it up. I'll talk to Brandon tomorrow.
Now that would be next level, to have a listening booth where you could go over and listen.
Andy, I'm going to voluntold you to do the listening booth.
Right. Just because you voluntolded me.
You betcha.
I've been voluntold. All right, so what else is going on? So that's happening. That's cool. So people can contribute the records.
Yeah, we're collecting them Monday through Friday between 9 and 5 p.m. There's the table downstairs. We're only doing record this time, but you can look forward to our next used media sale if you've got really cool CDs that you want to share. So no CDs this time, just records. And we're really looking for genres that your little teenage brother would be into. So like all the rap of all the rock of the 60s and 70s, country, western, folk, any of the big names. It's a lot of name recognition that sells them, or cool album artwork. Genres that aren't so hot are classical and jazz. Comedy records do well. They do well.
Really?
Yeah, we have people come up and buy
the classics.
The classics, yes.
Like the Carlins and the Pryors.
Well, the Cheech and Chongs.
Cheech and Chongs, sure.
Richard Pryor, certainly.
Bill Cosby, not so much these days.
Those were not on sale. We did receive some Bill Cosby records.
Oh, my goodness.
And
too soon.
I'm glad they're out of rotation. Indefinitely.
Indefinitely out of rotation. Well, yeah. Anyway, so that's surprising to me that comedy records are still doing well. That's cool. All right.
Yeah, and then, so if you have that really valuable jazz
course,
or classical
classic
collection.
Rock stuff's going to do
classic,
great.
So
right.
There was a bidding war over The Wall, Pink Floyd, at our last pop-up record shop, and everybody knew there was one out there because we took some photos of the titles that were going to be there, and someone tried to bribe this woman. I won't name names, but she held on to it. She was the one who found it.
Do you price them accordingly? Like you curate this?
I do curate it.
Okay.
It's taken a few record sales to figure it out, but we do $2, $5, and $10.
Okay.
So some of the records are going to be worth more like $20 or $30, but we price them at $10. So everybody feels like they're getting a good deal. $5 is kind of $10 is the classic albums, $5 is the compilation albums and stuff that's more of like a B-side, and then $2 could be a really great record in really terrible condition, or something that's album artwork, or, you know, their weird album from the 80s that you weren't sure what they were doing there, but they made a record about it. So.
When you did the one that was at the Jack about a year ago, maybe?
I guess this is our fourth record,
too. You did one, right? Remember you did that one at the Jack? I took pictures of that. I mean, I took pictures of the albums. I didn't buy anything. I don't know why. But I just took pictures of ones that I thought were funny. In a way, like, the thing is, I don't have a turntable anymore, like an idiot. I don't know why I don't. I should have one. It's ridiculous. You have one?
I do have one.
Yeah.
But I don't
listen to it as much as I should.
So I'm going to be bringing in a lot of my collection.
It is just
fun to come to a Malga and peruse, you know, walk down memory lane.
Absolutely.
Some folks from the Jazz and Classics board roll up and be like, Annie, this can't be priced $5. There's scratches all over it.
Right, but hey.
But it's a thing you can hold in your hand. You can hang it on your wall. Just the feeling of
having.
Scratches
sound good.
They sound good.
That scratchy sound, it sounds good, man.
That's what we want.
I know.
In stereo.
In fact, I think, you know, I'm going to play something in the vault here that I think I burned off of an album long ago.
Ooh.
I'm going to bring it up. It's an ABBA. I think Dancing Queen I burned off of an album long ago. I'm going to see if that works. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I remember it used to have a scratchy scratch scratch at the beginning, and then it would go long before it was, you know, then we curated this collection well. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, this weekend.
Anything else going on?
Our membership drive kicks off Wednesday. KXLL's kicks off
at
noon.
Well, we should have talked about that more.
Oh, well.
Membership drive coming up at noon on Wednesday.
That's why we're doing the record shop. We're going to have Marion Call And Seth live on KXLL, probably at 1 o'clock on Thursday.
That's fun.
So stay tuned for
live
that.
Live music.
We're going to probably do some music premieres from local artists.
KXLL drives are the funnest drives.
I like to think
right?
so.
Come on.
I know we're asking you for money. It's
I know
be
we're
fun.
On the other station right now, but come on. KXLL is the funnest pledge drive ever.
It's pretty groovy.
It's pretty fun. Live
are
music.
Are you gonna pitch?
I'll pitch.
I just
you know
volunteered
I'll pitch.
You to pitch.
You
on
know
KXLL.
I'll pitch anytime you ask. Anytime you ask, I'll come pitch. Annie B, thanks so much. Pop-up record shop happening. You can contribute starting on Monday. Your old record collection, the classics. Looking for the classics.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to help KTOO, KXLL raise money as they head into their membership drive, which all starts on Wednesday. Annie, thanks so much. Now I'm going to see if this old ABBA has some scratches on
Memory
it.
Here's
some Dancing Queen. Playing the right music. That's what Todd Hunt's all about.
That's
right. Orpheus Project. Concerts coming up this weekend. You said, boy, I'm a little beat. I was like, you better rally.
Friday.
You better rally, man.
Oh, well, rally tonight. We got our final dress tonight, and we're going to be ready. So this is it's a new series, the first of a new series called Continuum, that's, I guess, a little bit of a wacky idea of mine. I mean, I'm sure it's been done before,
but maybe not.
It's pairing early music with contemporary music.
Okay.
So basically skipping all the stuff that we hear all the time in the concert hall. So I'll be programming.
Now what do you mean by that? Like what? Give me an idea as someone who doesn't maybe go to the concert hall as much as I should.
What, Andy?
When you say, are there certain ones that are like kind of classics of 20th century
so
stuff?
Like,
is that what you mean?
Let's say if you go into the Juno Symphony,
sure.
for instance,
you're
likely to hear something as old as, say, Mozart, maybe Haydn, which is like late 1700s, or something as recent probably as Shostakovich, who died in the 70s, born very early in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's about the range of what we get. So I'm looking at the other ends of that continuum that we're on here. So this concert in particular is focusing on music of the late 14th century and stuff from our time. Like,
late 14th century, so that's pre-Renaissance.
That's this is medieval music we're talking about. So
I didn't know they even had music then.
Oh, yeah, and it's crazy. So one of the things about this program that I really like, and one of the things that gave me the idea for the whole series to begin with is that the late 14th century, the music, music goes through periods where, like, imagination and weirdness just kind of explode, and then everything gets pulled back in, and you get a little bit more conservative about things, and then it grows again and explodes and comes back in. So this is before the Renaissance, and this is one of these periods of explosion of creativity, and I tell you, like, the harmonies and the rhythms and just all the counterpoint and everything, it's just whacked.
Really?
It's really weird.
What were
stuff.
The so what areas are you drawing from? Like,
so
what
mostly,
geographic areas?
Mostly France.
Okay. And is this around monks and that kind of music?
No,
what
so
is it?
It's all secular music of the late 14th century. Well, there's one piece we're doing is for the dedication of the Florence Cathedral.
So
it's not biblical text, but it's in a quasi.
So what was happening in France at that time that allowed for this explosion of artistic expression?
Those of you who are 14th century buffs,
count me in.
You know, it might remember it's like the Black Black Plague happened
sure.
in there, and there were wars like crazy, all sorts of infighting. There's the Papal Schism. Lots of conflict, and actually, there's a book called A Distant Mirror that, which is coincidentally the name of the concert, How Crazy, that sort of compares the 20th century with the 14th century and how the conflict sort of escalated in sort of the same kind of way.
Right, so, large-scale pandemics and large-scale wars and explosion of exploration.
Of exploration and music and everything.
Communication.
Lots of stuff. Well, I mean, not so much technology because there wasn't a whole... Well, there's some
but
technology,
of the age.
Right,
Like, I think sailing vessels were exploding in technology, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's
they
really
hadn't made it to the new world yet.
Not quite yet, but they were exploring.
Right,
they were,
and it was the next century, so they're getting there.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's the old.
Right.
What's
and
the new?
The new, I'm doing three different contemporary pieces. One is from the 80s, and it's a flute octet by John Luther Adams, who used to teach up at Fairbanks.
Okay.
Cool. So there's that piece by Steve Rouse, who's a composition professor at my undergrad in Louisville, Kentucky. And it's a sextet for violin, cello, flute, clarinet, percussion, and piano. Like, tons of percussion. Like, I have to show up, like, an hour and a half before to help get the percussion set up.
Okay.
In time. Yeah.
That much
that
gear.
Much stuff.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere.
Is there a gong?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a gong?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a gong.
Just
oh,
one.
Heck yeah. There's
well,
a gong.
Of course there's a gong. I'm doing a concert without a gong.
Sorry.
Shouldn't have even asked. Yeah, and then the third piece we're doing is on the contemporary side of things is by a Dutch composer born in 70, Michel van der A, who is into multimedia sort of compositions, blending electronics with live players. So this piece is for a small chamber orchestra and laptop.
And laptop.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah,
so what's the laptop portion?
So
is
the
it
laptop,
DJing kind
of
stuff?
Sort of. I mean, it's all
beats.
Preset.
Yeah.
But the laptop operator runs a soundtrack that's supposed to line up with what we're doing. And it's taking, the soundtrack takes the acoustic sounds that we make and sort of turns them on their head, plays them backwards, really.
Wow, that's
cool.
Yeah.
So all through this piece, we get this really kind of odd, frankly, sort of, it's not background noise. It's just a different instrument. It's kind of like a soloist.
It's just the ambience. It's this sort of, that sort of, wow, that's. Well, this is fascinating.
Yeah. So
this
really
sounds really cool.
People show up to this, and I'm assuming like early music fans are going to come to this, and assuming contemporary music fans are going to come to this. So seating's fairly limited. I mean, we're at UAS tomorrow night in the library, 8 o'clock. So there's probably like 120 seats or something. So I mean that could sell out really easy, and there's $5 student tickets. So,
Yeah. So the students will fill it up.
Right. Yeah. They better.
So
students get out there.
People want tickets and they want them now. Mm-hmm. How do they get them?
You get them at Vendini locations. So like the Jack, the bookstores. They'll be on. Well, they're online. At OrpheusProject.org or at JAHC.org. You can get tickets there or at the door if there's any left.
Uh-huh.
There's also a Sunday performance, too, for especially downtown folks who think that the university is really, really far away. Sunday at Northern Light Church, downtown in the Flats, at 3 o'clock.
All right. Well, that sounds fascinating. It's the Orpheus Project concert continuum that's happening. UAS tomorrow at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, Northern Light Church
at 3 p.m.
At 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Tickets available at all the Vendini locations. Todd Hunt, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Andy.
Now I know why you're exhausted.
Oh, my God.
It's just so fascinating. Thanks so much for coming in.
Looking
forward
to seeing you.
Have a great concert.
Yeah.